Welcome to another episode of the Compete Clarity podcast. Today, I'm joined by Ben Hoffman, Senior Manager of Competitive Intelligence at Adobe. Today, we dive deep into the transformative role of artificial intelligence in CI and uncover how AI is not just reshaping the landscape of competitive intelligence, but also enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of you lot, the CI professionals. From blending AI and human expertise to navigating the security implications of AI and CI, we'll explore key insights that promise to revolutionize how competitive intelligence is conducted. So whether you're concerned about AI replacing human roles, or you're looking for ways to leverage AI within your CI workflows, this discussion is packed with valuable perspectives. So stay tuned as we discuss the practical applications of AI that are already making a difference and look ahead to the future possibilities AI holds for competitive intelligence. This episode is a must listen for anyone looking to stay at the cutting edge of CI practice. So make sure you stick around. It's a good one. Let's welcome Ben Hoffman. All right. Welcome to the show, Ben. It's great to have you here. And I'm excited to talk a little bit today about AI's evolving role in competitive intelligence. But before we get into that, as usual, let's give everyone a little bit of background on you and your work over at Adobe. A big name, but what parts of the business are you involved in and what does competitive intelligence look like for you over there?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, Alex, for inviting me on here. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you and looking forward to our conversation today. I've been at Adobe for 2 years now. I work on the Adobe Experience Cloud side. So this is the part of the business that is focused on the Adobe Analytics, Adobe Commerce. Customers that want to build a web presence would use Adobe Experience Cloud products, and then tracking customer usage of those different products, that's also under the Adobe Experience Cloud umbrella. Obviously, Adobe's got Photoshop, that's sort of the Creative Cloud side of the house, and then Acrobat, all the PDF stuff, that's the Documents Cloud side of the house. I work on it's called the Competitive Center of Excellence, or CCOE. It's essentially a fancy term for the competitive intelligence team on Adobe Experience Cloud's business.
Okay, awesome. So you've got this special name for the team. That's something I've not heard of before. Is the team quite large? Are you all dedicated CI people, or is this a product marketing thing with just like a few core CI people?
Yeah, no, actually, so we're actually a very small team. We only have 3 people, which given the number of stakeholders that we have, the number of competitors that we're tracking, as you can imagine, we have a lot of priorities that we have to juggle. It's a small but mighty team. We sit under the product marketing umbrella under the Adobe Experience Cloud business. So we work pretty closely with a number of the different product marketing sort of sub teams. We are a pretty small team given the number of responsibilities that we have.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this before, juggling the various priorities in the business. It's a mature organization. You've got a lot of different stakeholder groups. I'll be interested to ask you later on how, maybe if at all, AI is helping you to kind of manage those priorities and sift through all of that workload. But first of all, let's just discuss kind of the why of the topic. So why, Ben, do you think is important that people be thinking about AI and its role in competitive intelligence today?
So I think everybody should be thinking about generative AI and the role of how it's going to impact their specific career, right? I think for competitive intelligence professionals, there's a lot of opportunity for AI to be really helpful in the day-to-day. A big part of competitive intelligence is, of course, tracking what your competitors are doing, consuming a ton of information on a day-to-day basis. So anything that can sort of shrink down the time required to digest the amount of information that you need to digest to really understand what's going on is naturally going to be a benefit. So I think there's a ton of opportunity for generative AI to enter the fray of competitive intelligence as a profession and be a major benefit. Obviously, there's people out there that do have concerns about like, oh my gosh, is this going to replace my job? Personally, I don't think competitive intelligence is in the direct line of fire, at least not right now. I think there's a lot more benefit that can be had, at least in the short term, than reasons to be afraid of it. So I'm actually really excited to see where we're going to go with AI in the next like couple of years.
Oh, that's good to hear, you know, because we hear a fair bit about, you know, CI being misunderstood in a lot of organizations. There's this constant battle of having to justify budget and investment in the CI program. So that's actually something I wanted to ask you, you know, is the value of CI, if the value of CI is something a lot of leaders have maybe a hard time grasping, I was going to ask, do you think people should be worried about AI kind of taking over the role? But it sounds like you definitely think then that there'll always be a place, at least for the foreseeable future, for a human being in competitive work?
I think so. I think for at least the time being. I mean, here's the deal. Like, and this is not to make the human side uncomfortable, but AI has its faults, right? Like, there's been studies out there that show that as great as it can be, I mean, you still have to have a human in the loop to be able to edit the content, make sure everything's vetted appropriately. And when you're talking about something like competitive intelligence, where that data can inform major decisions that your company is taking or a specific person is taking in a sales opportunity, or you're taking in a messaging, you know, sort of opportunity or product development opportunity, all these different areas that CI plays in, you need to have a human to be able to edit that AI and or output and make sure everything is good to go. Where I was going with, you know, the human side should also be uncomfortable is that humans are error prone as well. Like, I make mistakes at work. We all make mistakes at work. But I think the point being is that I think what we need to worry is there going to be like an AI that edits the AI at some point? You have the output from ChatGPT. Is there going to be like a sort of editing tool that comes into the fray? I don't think so. I think right now that's sort of the human that comes in and makes sure that this is good to go. And the other thing too is like AI output, that's one part of the puzzle, because there's still things that the AI cannot do. Like, the AI can't go around to different people in your company and different stakeholders outside of your company and have conversations. You can have some basic conversations through like a chatbot, but it's just not the same. And I don't see that being the same for the foreseeable future. And I also just don't think that companies, like, I don't think people actually want to be in a world where it's just bots communicating with bots. Like, I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal is to have bots as part of the overall puzzle versus the puzzle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's super interesting, because that is something that you hear, you know, it's kind of a recurring concern. This sense checking piece that you're talking about, if the AI's reasoning is this kind of black box where we put a bunch of stuff in, it spits a bunch of stuff out, especially if that's erring on the side of the strategic and we're using that to inform these kind of, you know, like high risk reward scenarios where there's a lot at stake. If you can't go back and justify, well, here's exactly how the chatbot or the AI got to its answer, and then everything goes wrong, it's a little bit weak to just pin it and say, well, the AI told me to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you wouldn't put all your eggs into that basket. And if you do, then you sort of deserve the outcome that you get. You know, if you get a good outcome, well, that's great. I think at this point, that's sort of a lucky result. So I do think, going back to just how it enters into CI and specifically focusing on that, I think there's a massive opportunity for sort of this interplay between AI and humans to really make competitive intelligence more powerful than it's ever been. But I don't see AI taking the place of humans in all situations. I think there's going to be sort of those more day-to-day tasks where AI is going to maybe start taking over. And that should be a good thing, because at least from my perspective, those things are kind of a pain. So to be able to have AI come in and do some of that, I think is a great benefit.
It's obviously been progressing at a really, some would say, alarming rate, AI, over the past couple of years.
Do you think at where we are with it right now, people can really start using it already to move the needle, make a dent in their workload, automate their processes? Or at the moment, would you say there's still a little ways to go before its practical use really comes into the kind of everyday work that people are doing?
It's a great question. I think the answer is yes, but I can only speak for myself, but I imagine other folks in our community are doing the same thing, which is using AI to, again, just save time with, I'll give you an example. You know, Adobe, the Experience Cloud business, we have hundreds of competitors. And every day there are dozens of different news articles that come out. A lot of those are noise. A lot of those are sort of just fluff pieces, but some of those are really important. The cool thing is there's tools now that can just condense those articles down to like, here are the key takeaways. And you can get a sense really quickly of, is this article worth digging into more deeply? Or can I just move on to the next one? And that can be applied to all sorts of different use cases. But I think for me, just personally, like understanding what's happening from a news perspective, that is, it's a huge time saver just to be able to have that, because otherwise I'd be going in and sort of digging into each of these articles. So I think that's a huge benefit. That's something that can be applied today. But it still requires like getting that little condensed chunk. I mean, you still have to go into that article. You still have to put the pieces together of, okay, they've announced this product or they're hinting at some new service. Like, what does that mean? The AI is not really going to be a benefit right there for that right now, maybe in the future. But for now, that's still something that you've got to do that strategic analysis on. And that's good because it means like we still have jobs that we can do. But at the same time, it's a limited use case, right? Like it can do that first step, but the human has to come in and do like steps 2, 3, 4, 5. I think over time, the AI, you'll see the AI being able to do like steps 1, 2, 3, and then you still have to do 4, 5. And then I think there's always going to be a step or two where you as the human need to come in and actually take it home. But I think over time, AI is going to be able to do more and more of that chain of different processes, if that makes sense.
Got you. So is that kind of the help with processing, the separating signal from noise, is that the only application that you personally are using AI for right now, or are there others as well?
Yeah, so there's a couple use cases. It's mostly about, like, it really comes down to text analysis more than anything. So we're doing it on news, doing it on like PDF analysis. So sort of if I'm looking at a 50-page PDF, I can get information out of the PDF that I don't have to dig for, and I can reuse sort of those commands in other PDFs if there's like, if we're using some sort of standard template. So that's a time saver as well. And then, you know, we use a competitive intelligence tool called Clue, which has another thing that analyzes reviews from customer review websites like G2 Crowd, TrustRadius, Gartner Peer Insights, and is able to piece together, you know, trends based on like keywords, and that's leveraging AI as well. So there's a few different use cases today. And they're all things that are major time savers for us. So definitely getting a lot of benefit out of each of them.
Okay, that's interesting. So with the PDF analysis, is that something similar to what it sounds like the Clue tool is doing, where it's kind of keyword density, kind of frequency of mentions analysis to kind of get an idea of what it's about and where the like focus areas are, and then you can decide, I'm interested in these things. This has kind of bucketed these PDFs into that bucket, so I know I'm interested in those, or does it go a little bit deeper?
Yeah, it's like, you know, tell me what so-and-so said about X, and it would dig through the report and it would sort of give you an output on that. And, you know, sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it doesn't pick it up, but most of the time it does. And it's just, again, sort of the thing where like, you might not know exactly what to search for, what keywords to look for in the PDF. And this sort of knows what to look for and will pull it out for you. And then you can sort of like copy and paste it into, you know, maybe another document if you're working out of another document. So for me, like that's really helpful with like looking at a win-loss report, right? So like a transcript from an interview that might be 24 pages, and I want to know like, well, what did the customer say about the competitor's scalability? And it would be able to pull out, you know, a sampling of different mentions of that. And so that's a great use case. It's a major time saver. And like I said, that's something that I can then apply to another PDF if there's another sort of win-loss report that's in that same template, which it would be. That's a great time saver use case.
I see. I see. That's really interesting as a use case. It's very simple, but obviously, the machine can process the text much faster. You can just interface with it in a kind of human readable question asking way and just get straight to the information that you're interested in. Of all the AI tools out there, do you have a favorite that you're using? You mentioned the Clue tool. Is it ChatGPT you're using? Is it one of the alternatives out there?
Yeah, I guess I've used a few different tools. Clue is one of the tools, obviously, that we use. I use another tool called Feedly, which is the news tracking, sort of the primary news tracking tool. And that, in addition to Clue, condenses articles down and sort of gives you the key takeaways. And they're working on a bunch of other AI sort of features that they're building into their platform. As far as other things go, I don't use ChatGPT a ton at work. I just don't, and we're not using like the paid version. So, you know, anything that I would type in there anyway would be, I think, out of date by a year or two. So there's very limited use cases for that. It's still pretty cool though to use if you're like, you know, sort of give me like the key takeaways from. I mean, if you want to do like a single article, actually, the output, the condensed output, from that is actually really good, but I tend to sort of stick to the tools that we're just using already. And those check off the boxes pretty nicely for us.
I see. You mentioned limitations, and this is something I've wanted to ask you as well. So one thing you do hear about is even the potential dangers of using AI and, putting proprietary data into it, and then that kind of gets out there into the world. What would you say our listeners should be careful of when they're using AI, if they're using AI within the sphere of competitive intelligence?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't put any, you know, proprietary information into a tool where you haven't done the due diligence to ensure that it's a sort of closed four walls just for your organization. You know, like the non-paid for ChatGPT is, I wouldn't trust putting, you know, my company's personal information or my personal information for that matter into that tool. If it's more generic information, like have at it. I think if it's you're paying for something, you know that there's security measures in place, I would feel more comfortable with that. I would still, you know, I'd still just make sure you do the due diligence. What I said, I think I was on a webinar a couple weeks ago on a similar topic, and I said that it would be really important and just a really good idea in general to have, you know, a security person in your organization, if that's like a chief security officer or someone of the like, do the due diligence with you to make sure that everything is good to go. Personally, I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable doing like looking at the, you know, security capabilities of a particular tool out there and being like, okay, I'm for sure like feel good. I for sure feel good about this. Like I'd want to have someone internally just say, yeah, like you can feel good about using this tool before I go ahead and you know start plopping personal data into that tool. So that's what I would suggest doing. I think again, like the ChatGPT, I want to say it's ChatGPT Enterprise or the Plus version or whatever it's called. You get supposedly like a sort of closed off version just for your organization, but yeah, those like the free ones out there, Bard, ChatGPT, some of these other ones, like I would be very careful about what data you're putting in because it could easily get included into their large language model and then get thrown into someone else's organization. So just be very, very careful about doing that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that that's something that's a development that will perhaps happen eventually? So like some kind of internal oversight department or individuals who, you know, if AI does get rolled out in organizations at scale, there'll be people kind of pushing out best practices and saying, you know, like, this is not what you want to be doing, here is what you want to be doing, setting up infrastructure around it, making sure everything's kosher in that sense.
That's a really interesting, yeah, there's going to be like a CAIO, like a chief artificial intelligence officer. I could totally see that being a thing. I mean, I remember like when social media started to really enter the scene, like people started using Twitter and Facebook, and you started seeing like social media managers popping up in organizations, and you know, now that like AI is such a big part of the conversation and people's roles, like I do wonder if we're going to start seeing AI departments popping up, and then security elements within those departments. I could absolutely see that happening. I do think some organizations are going to be first in line. You know, some organizations are probably already doing that. I imagine, like, I'm not sure if Adobe has that, but I imagine some of the bigger tech companies out there are doing that. But then there's going to be laggards, companies that, you know, aren't even aware of maybe the security issues around that. And there's going to be, we're going to hear about, you know, data issues, data loss issues, or things of that nature. So I think it's good to get awareness out to organizations of like the security concerns that could prop up if they're not using these tools correctly. But absolutely, I think over time we're going to see more and more just conversation around this, and you're just going to start seeing people coming into organizations who are like strictly focused on ensuring that they're using AI tools in the right way.
Yeah, you mentioned like laggards and sort of trailblazers in terms of pushing through and implementing infrastructure and systems around using AI and using it properly in a business. Do you think that itself, that kind of adoption and kind of like aggressive adoption with oversight of AI in organizations, could itself be a competitive lever that companies can pull to kind of get ahead of the ones who are a little bit maybe blasé about it or don't want to implement the kind of oversight and end up making those mistakes, like we mentioned earlier? Do you think that's a possibility as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the companies that are using AI today are already a step ahead of the companies that aren't, you know, plain and simple. Like just the time savings, you know, companies that aren't using AI are spending more time on things that aren't pushing the needle from a strategy perspective, or if it is pushing the needle, is pushing it darn slowly. So I think the companies that are using AI already, specifically using it in a way that they can import their own personal data and do it in a safe way, that's where the real strategic sort of nuggets can start coming out. So if you're just using like the free ChatGPT or free Bard, that's good up to a point, but like you want to be able to use AI to crunch your sales numbers and find out what are the trends here, you know? I think that's where the real sort of gold nuggets can be found. So companies that are doing that are absolutely 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 steps ahead.
It's interesting talking about this because even myself, I've noticed like there's this kind of weird resistance to using the AI tools that I have at my disposal to do my day-to-day job. And I don't really know why. It's like this kind of pride thing maybe, or I should do things the hard way. But at the same time, I know there are people, not even in, you know, like across from me in other businesses, but even within the business who are using it, who are probably outpacing me because they don't have those same kinds of, prejudices, I guess, against using the tool.
I mean, it's also overwhelming, right? Like there's so many tools out there, and let's be honest, like this has been live now for a year, really. Like ChatGPT launched just about a year ago. So we've gone our lives not having this, and now all of a sudden it's so omnipresent throughout this, just like the business world and every part of life, that it's a little bit overwhelming. Like we're sort of being asked to make these big changes. And in a lot of ways they're beneficial, but it's also like, yeah, we're used to we're used to going to Excel and just crunching data ourselves, creating a pivot table. You know, we're used to having our certain processes in place, even if they're not the most efficient. It can be overwhelming to say, okay, I'm going to actually start handing off. It's like basically like delegating to someone on a team, right? Like I'm going to start handing this off and having this thing do this for me. So it could be like, could be a trust thing for some people. It could be just overwhelming. Like, I don't even know where to start. I feel that way sometimes. There's so many tools out there. And it's like, how do you even know which is the right one to use? I think everyone knows about ChatGPT and Bard, but that's just scratching the surface. There's so many tools out there. And it's incredible. But I also think it's really overwhelming to know where to start sometimes with these things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think everyone's seen how quickly the kind of AI space became saturated. Everyone jumped on the bandwagon. Everyone was talking about it. It felt like if businesses weren't talking about it, they were behind. So everyone was kind of rushing products out the door that maybe at release, maybe weren't the best, but maybe even a few months after that, but worked perfectly fine. But I think a lot of people, that initial kind of overwhelm, especially if products were getting rushed out or experiences weren't so good, especially since so many people, it seems, the intuitive way of using the tool, which is it's just a chat box, I can just ask it anything I want to. Right. You dig a little bit deeper and you find actually you have to kind of curate the questions that you ask. And, you know, there are whole guides and courses, I'm sure, now on how to craft the perfect prompt to get your tool to do what you want it to do. Yep. Definitely a lot to take on board.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Are there any other ways that you think AI will play a part in shaping how people perform competitive intelligence, either in the near future or the far future?
I mean, I sort of hinted at it earlier. Like, I think a lot of the use cases right now revolve around sort of the day-to-day manual processes, right? Of like going through and crunching different articles. And in the case of like, you know, if you've got a data set, crunching that data. And this may be something that's happening today, but I haven't really seen it, is that next step where, you know, recommendations start getting surfaced. Like, hey, we've crunched your last 5 years of data. Here's some things that we found, but also like you might want to start looking at this, or you might want to start connecting these two things together. Maybe it's like, it could be an example, like you might want to start, it looks like, these two products might be good as like co-selling opportunities. And maybe the AI is doing that today. I haven't seen a lot of that sort of thing, but almost starting to get into the strategic a little bit. And I'm not worried about that personally, because like, I think a lot of people would be, oh, well, the strategic, that's for the human. Like, we don't want this getting into the strategic side. I actually do, because again, it's another seat at the table. And so if the AI can start providing some strategic guidance, and that could be, again, for like sales data, could be for, hey, we've looked at the last dozen articles about competitor X, and it looks like this has been mentioned a number of times, which is similar to what this other company that you compete with is doing. And it seems like there's a market developing here, like that sort of information where it's starting to surface things and provide almost like its take on multiple different news pieces or competitors, I think would be amazing. I just don't think we're quite there yet. And I think that's going to happen, but that's the sort of thing where it's like, I'd love to have, it's just like another voice in your ear to say, hey, this is something that you should be looking at. I'm not going to necessarily put all my eggs in that basket, but it's an egg to put in the basket, if that makes sense.
Right. So getting to the point where we're not just dealing with, you know, single pieces or single sort of like data sets in isolation, but where it's kind of remembering those data sets and then pulling across all of them to get these kind of like, I guess, meta conclusions is one way you could put it. And then kind of actually suggesting something that's of practical use to a particular business based on everything it also knows about the business. Just that kind of one or two levels higher than we're at right now.
Yeah. And even maybe a step further where it starts predicting potential actions, right? Like, hey, based on the last 10 acquisitions that have happened in the market, like this company could potentially acquire that company. And again, it might be like a bunch of fluff, but it could also just be something to look at. Like, that's the point, is that it's something for you to consider. It's something for you to think about. you're still there to do the thought process, to do the thinking, but this is bringing you things to think about. That's sort of the next step. Right now, we're at the point where it's sort of doing that, like but it's not, there's not much analysis going on that I've seen. It's more just like, we're going to condense things. We're going to give you really basic output, but to where it can start like predicting potential things in a market, I think would be, and I imagine we'll get there. I really do. Like, based on where we've come in the last year, I think, and honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this year, there's like a tool out there that does that. It really wouldn't shock me.
You mentioned earlier, sort of this split between, like, you'd heard some people intimate that they weren't so comfortable with AI getting involved in the strategic side, but it's something you would actually look forward to. It seems to me like there could be other similar issues where there's really some debate going on as to, not just in competitive intelligence, but elsewhere in businesses, where AI can and should sit. Are there any other opinions, I guess, that you kind of have around what you would like to see AI do in future that you think other people might not be so comfortable with?
The strategic piece is a big one. I think that, you know, I said it earlier, like, I was on like Instagram the other day, which I don't tend to go on Instagram very often, but I was on it the other day, and there was an ad for this company called Air AI. I don't know if you've heard of them or seen what they do, but it's like, if you call in to, it's like next level customer service bot, where it's got sentiment analysis baked in. It's got, you see, like, hey, we want you to check out this new deal. Oh, I'm not interested. Like, yeah, cool, I get that, but you might want to, like, it's like, it sounds like you're talking to a human. It's actually kind of scary. I think what would be, what pushing the envelope of like, I'm not sure we want to go this direction is, again, like what I was saying earlier, is the communication. So I communicate with all these stakeholders internally. And stakeholders externally, like I speak with industry analysts, I speak with the vendors that I work with. If all of a sudden there was like a Ben bot, right, where it's like basically me, and it's going out and communicating with like all these different stakeholders, and it's got like almost like my voice, and it's got my sort of my lingo, and it really knows how to actually have a conversation with these people, and you don't really need to, you know, press whatever button on your phone to get connected to a human. I think that's where it starts to get a little scary. And on one hand, it's cool, because like I can sort of outsource that work. You know, if I want to interview a bunch of people in the sales team about their recent experiences against a competitor, like this is a way that I could do that. But it also starts to beg the question of like, okay, like, can we just start doing that for a lot of jobs where you have to speak with people, or like where that's your job, where you just talk on the phone with people? Or like, does that mean customer service agents like in general are gone? I think that's where I personally think that we need to be careful about how much we push forward here. And I don't think, like, I think we're pushing forward there. I just think for roles where you literally could replace someone with a bot, I think that's where we should be a little bit scared. I think roles where you communication, or, you know, certain things that don't require a lot of strategic analysis, that's not a big part of your role. That is a big part of your role. I think AI will be a complementary piece, but other roles where it's you know, accounting, journalism, like I think a lot of these roles are honestly in, I don't want to say they're in dire straits quite yet, but like there's definitely some threats at play, and it's a little scary.
Yeah. I want to say it feels to me at least like, so long as AI is kind of sitting, you know, within its computer and you can turn it off at the power button, if it's giving advice and you've sort of solicited that advice, you've asked it for, what do you think about this? That's one thing. Even if it's able to draw some really very, very, very intelligent conclusions about things from, you know, in impressive ways. But if it starts like getting some autonomy over who it interacts with and who it's, even if it's trying to influence you yourself, but you've solicited it, you can sort of think, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to take your advice on this. But if it's then going to multiple people in the business and saying, you know, this is the best strategic, you know, conclusion for you and for the business, and this is what we should be doing. And it's, you know, then it gets a little dicey. It's kind of come out of the box at that point.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. Like if the AI recommends something or says like, I think this is going to happen in the future, I think this company could buy out that company. And you're like, well, our analysis indicates otherwise. And you know, the AI starts going rogue on you. And like you said, it goes around and starts tapping the proverbial shoulder of your stakeholders in your organization. It's like, well, actually, I think this company is going to buy that company. Like, do your stakeholders start trusting the AI more than you? Like, that's when things get scary, is like you're competing with a tool that's supposed to help you. That's a different kind of competitive intelligence right there. And like, that's not a game that I want to be playing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think, again, I'm more bullish on AI being a complementary piece in the world of competitive intelligence. But there's still need. I also think like, before we say full speed ahead, I do think certain limitations or considerations should be thought about before we just plow ahead and say like, we're going to release the dragon right now. Like we got to make sure like this animal that we're letting out into the environment, it's already out. Let's be honest. We just want to make sure we're using it in like a responsible way. But so far, what I've seen just in the world of CI, like the use cases for it are actually really, really cool. So,
absolutely. Well, Ben, we've been talking for over 30 minutes. Is there anything that we've not covered yet about AI in CI that you think we should do before we close?
Not that I can think of. I think, you know, I imagine you'll probably have conversations with some product marketing folks, and I think there's some definitely cool opportunities there, just like around messaging and, you know, different campaigns that you can try. So I think there's a lot of cool use cases across the whole marketing spectrum. But yeah, for CI, I think we covered some of the meatier topics today. So
awesome. Well, just one last question for you then to close on. I like asking people this one. Is there one piece of advice that you've received in your career or something that you've learned over the course of your career you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
I don't know if this is advice that I've gotten, but it's something that I just picked up over the years. And I think it's just, you know, curiosity is always a good thing. You know, always just don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. I think CI offers so many opportunities to try new things, to work with different groups of people, to take on very different types of work, all in the same day, all in the same week. And I just think like there's opportunities for you to sort of carve out your niche, and you should be open to, you know, finding what you really like. So just, yeah, be open to trying different things, be open to, just being curious in this role.
Awesome. Great advice. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us, Ben. It's great having you on.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, Alex.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Compete Clarity podcast. Head on over to competitiveintelligencealliance.io for competitive intelligence courses, industry reports, practical playbooks, articles, and more, or to join our community of over 2,000 engaged CI pros. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.